just sung it, but tell me, is it true? Have you come here to worship his holy name? I would be lying if I said that sounded convincing. I'm going to ask one more time. But really, has God been good to you? Has God done anything in your life today that you ought to be thankful for? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to say it the way the psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Look around for a moment. Just let me know, does your neighbor even look glad? Look at him. Look at him. Tell him God has been too good to you for you not to be glad. I got two people listening. This is all right. We're gonna get it warmed up in here. But I'm just so grateful to be here. God has just been so good to each and every one of us, and I hope that you are experiencing what it means to live a life of gratitude. It requires every day for us to look around and just be honest with ourselves, Sonia, to say that God has been good to me. Anybody can say that in here without me having to prompt you, prep you up, or parade you around? Can you just say, honestly, God has been good? Yeah, when you look at your life and you consider all that you've been through, all that you could, what could have happened, and even what did happen, can you still come to that conclusion that God has been good to you? The fact that you made it through, my grandma would say it this way, danger seen and unseen. Could you say that God has been good to you? I mean, really, when you look at your kids, as wonderful as they are, could you say that God has been good to you? I mean, just take a moment. Just take a moment right now in this moment. Just take a moment. Think back. Think over your life and just hopscotch those. Don't cross over them, but really just land for a moment in those moments where you knew you had the only but God moments in your life where you're able to say, you know what? If no one else in this place knows it, I know for myself that God has been good to me. That's really how we want to start our journey today in our conclusion of the first chapter of Philippians as we continue in our journey for this series, Rhythms of Gratitude. We want to really continue with that on our minds, really understanding just how good God has been to us. In fact, we're going to be reading from the 27th verse of the first chapter of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul writes to the saints at Philippi, and he transitions the attention from his imprisonment to now what the expectation is for their lives, particularly as believers. That as believers, we ought to live lives that reflect God's goodness. Come on, meet me in the 27th verse, the first chapter, where the Apostle writes, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's it right there. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. The gospel, the good news of God's unfailing love for humanity. The gospel, God expressing just how much he loves us, that even before we learn to love him, he demonstrated that love that Christ died for our sins. The gospel. That God would come in human flesh and dwelt among humanity to rescue humanity from our sinful condition. I know you heard me say the gospel, but that's good news. Good news that God loves you. Maybe this mic's not working today, Ricky. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, Chad, that I get excited when I consider that God loves me, that God loves you. Maybe I'm going to press this just a little bit further. God loves you and God knows you. No. Let me try this one more again. God doesn't just love the public profile of you. God doesn't just know the public profile of you. God knows everything there is to know about you, and God loves you. I know you may believe your best friend and your boo might know a lot about you, but let me help you understand, if they knew everything that God knew about you, they probably wouldn't sit next to you. But here's the good news. God knows you, and in all that God knows about you, God loves you. Boy, you ought to nudge somebody right now and just tell them you ought to be grateful for that. You ought to be grateful that God doesn't have a conditional kind of love. That God's love for us is unconditional. That when, I like 1 John, that when we didn't know and have the sense to love him, he loved us. And in all that we celebrate this week and every day of our lives, I pray that we get to a place in our lives that we are grateful for God. Did you catch that? I know. I love this season. I love the season that we're in. I'm excited about this season. My mother-in-law, she is so committed to this season that she prepares for us to get here 6 months in advance. She buys turkeys and dressing, and she prepares for this season because she loves the family to come together. Now, I love this season because, you know, I enjoy the fried turkey, the sweet potato pie, the peach pie, the candied yams, the stuffed melaton, stuffed bell pepper. I'm getting hungry. I look forward to it. I do. I look forward to it. Anybody in here, you're looking forward to the Thanksgiving festivities? Anybody in here, if you're looking forward to that, you with joy, and we'll be grateful for all that good food, and then we'll eat. Then we'll eat some more, then we'll sleep, and then we'll eat some more, and then we say stuff like, well, the turkey tastes better the next day anyway. Seasoning sets in real good by then. And so we eat some more, and we're very thankful and grateful, but after about, I don't know, maybe a week and a half, after all that gratitude, you don't even want to see turkey. Somebody offer you a piece of turkey, you're like, I'm good. Somebody try to offer you the meal you'll have on Thursday, by 2:30, no, y'all on the up, y'all high class folk, by the next Thursday. You'll be like, no, I ate enough of that, because sometimes in our lives, Thanksgiving and our thankfulness suffers from an expiration date. Yeah, we get tired of certain things, and let me just be honest and transparent. I don't know how else to be but authentic, so let me just be real with you for a moment. My wife's been journeying with me now for over, I got to get the math right when I say that, 23, a long time. Journeying a long time. She know I have this peculiarity in me that if anything in the house is one day past the expiration date, I deem it as no longer edible. I'm not saying that's how I grew up. I'm just saying that's what I grew in. No longer. I have a problem with it. I look at it and say, no, that can't be good anymore. Unfortunately, sometimes that's how we treat our relationship with God. That we're grateful for God when those moments of rescue and redemption comes. But like that Thanksgiving meal that 2 weeks later you won't have any interest in, sometimes what happens in our lives, if we're not careful, we set an expiration date on how grateful we are for how good God has been. I want to challenge you on today, on this morning, on this week, as you go forward to this week, to truly be grateful to God, for God. Because those who are grateful for God ought to live lives consistently as gospel witnesses. Those who are grateful, those of us who are grateful to God, ought to live our lives in such a way that it demonstrates that God has been good to us. That's being grateful. That's really what Paul writes here when he says, if you don't do anything else, only let your manner of life. If you don't get anything else in his letter, he says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. Because being grateful requires the gospel. When you see gospel, you ought to think about God, because being grateful requires us to take a good look at a good God. Being grateful requires for us to see God and understand just how good God has been and God is to us. He says, let your life be lived in a manner that is worthy in balance with how good God has been. Worthy, that's that word there, worthy. But before we jump to that word, let's look at the word, the manner of life. Some of your translations have your behavior or your conduct. What he's saying here, let your life be lived in such a way, expressing gratitude in such a way that when others see your life, they see through your life that God has been good to you. That's gospel. That's gospel. He says we ought to live our lives in such a way that when we look at God, we're always grateful. When we see the hand of God, we're always grateful. When we see the grace of God in our lives, we remain grateful. Some folk call it the little things. But if you can't get out of bed, it's no longer a little thing. You can't dress yourself anymore, that's no longer a little thing. If you can't see your loved ones anymore, that's no longer a little thing. We ought to be grateful to God for everything. Because the word declares that every good and perfect gift comes. I thought you knew Bible here. Comes from the Lord. So he says, now, if you know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord, then the way you live your life ought to reflect the goodness that God has exhibited and given to your life. He says, live your lives worthy of the gospel, because God's love for us should lead us to live for God. This word, the manner of life in the Greek, it speaks to more so just in terms of a living before people so that people might see it. I want you to get this. This is deeper than that. In fact, from this word in the Greek text, the manner of life you live is where we get our word politics. Yeah. Paul's getting political in the text, but it's not just the partisanship that we have in American politics. No, well, he's even greater than that. He says that we ought to live our lives, get this, under the authority of someone greater than ourselves. He's speaking here that to believers, only believers. And he says, as believers, being grateful for God, when we live our lives, we ought to live our lives in such a way that it demonstrates that God is leading our lives. How can I get you to understand this? You live your life in such a way that when others see you, they know something about the God who's over you. You live your life in such a way that your life, here it is, your life promotes the gospel. That you live your life in such a way that your life portrays the gospel. You live your life in such a way that if no one reads that God is real, they ought to be able to look at your life and see that God is real. You live your life in such a way that when people see you, it shows that you are a citizen of a different kind of community. I'm trying to help you understand something here, because what he's saying here is that as believers, our lives ought to be lived differently than those who do not believe. And our lives ought to reflect where we've been, Wayne, and where we come from. My kids know this. We just returned from Louisiana, and we'll be going back to Louisiana, but we just returned to Louisiana, and my youngest son, you know, God blesses you with kids, and my kids probably don't ever feel that it's as a blessing to have a dad as a pastor, because you know, everything is homiletical content in my house. I see it; it's homiletical content. But my youngest kid, he probably takes more from his mom than from me, because he just say it. You know, he don't make it colorful. He don't use many adjectives. He just, if that's what it is, he's just going to tell it to you. Daddy not like that. Daddy got all kind of words. That's why some of y'all call me long-winded. But no, I got all kind of words before I get to that word. But not him, no. And he brought this to my mind because, you know, we as believers, we ought to live in such a way that people see us as a community and they see it through us. He brought it to my mind, Pastor George, because we were there funeralizing my uncle, and something happens when I get amongst family. I'm just being a little transparent. I told you I don't know how else but to be, but transparent. And he came to me and he said, Daddy, he said, why you talk like that when you're here? He told me, Dad, you talk differently when you're here. Here is Ville Platte, Louisiana. Here is the what I consider the Cajun Creole capital of the world. And it has a French dialect that seems to come out of me when I get closer to the here. He said, Dad, you don't talk that way when you get at home, but something happens when you get around your family and your Ace Boon Coon and your friends, and you talking about Shad and como ça va, ça va bien, and something just happens. He said, Dad, why is it like that? I said, boy, because that's where I'm from. And when I get to where I'm from, it just comes on out of me. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. That when you are a child of God and you're from the community of God and you're the community of faith, when you live your life, it ought to just come out of you. That when someone sees your life, that God's been good to you ought to just come. I ought to exude out of you. That when somebody sees you and says, how is it that you are still having joy? You could tell them, because God has been, am I saying it too much? I'm trying to make sure you understand this. God has been good to, it ought to just come on out of you. And so you gotta let your conduct be consistent with your Christianity. Let your walk match your talk. That if you are a believer in Christ, we don't just believe in Christ on Sunday morning. But on Monday, we still believe in Christ. On Tuesday, we still believe in Christ. On Wednesday, when wicked coworkers get on your last Christian nerve, you still live like you believe in Christ. On Thursdays, guess what you still do? And what are you going to do on Fridays? And by the time you get to Saturday and people all sad around you, what are you going to do? So on Sunday morning, you get back in this place and we celebrate again because God has been. You're getting it here. You got to let your feet be in alignment with your faith so that when people see you, not for people to see you, but so that when others see you, they're able to see the God you serve through you. Because you know that sometimes the only Bible people are going to read is your life. And when the church of God fails to live a life worthy of the gospel, it discourages people who are not in the church to be a part of the church. Let me sit by you for a moment. Because this letter is not written to unbelievers. This letter is written to the church, to saints. And he's saying, saints, If we don't strive to live lives of gratitude that is worthy of the gospel, this term worthy is like a balancing scale. Is that you got the gospel on this end and our lives on this end, and as we focus on God, our lives ought to be in balance with the good news of the gospel. If we fail to do this, y'all, we are going to send the wrong message to those who have yet to come in here. How do you know if your life is being lived worthy of the gospel? He didn't leave it unanswered. It's right there in the text. Here it is. In verse 28, the same verse, verse 27, he says that you are standing, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. You see it there? That you are of one mind and one spirit, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Now, what he's saying here is that our lives, in such a way that when we are living our lives worthy of the gospel, that God's work on us flows through us so that others might know the God we worship. I need some help here. I got one, two, three boys. Come on, y'all, you three boys, come on up here. I need a little bit more. I got any girls in the audience? I got any teenagers? Come on, I need some help here. You got to move fast now. Move faster than I move. Come on. You ain't got to put your shoes on, baby. Just come on. It's all right. Come on. Come on. I know you got comfortable. This is your scene. It's all good. One girl. Really, girls? Come on. 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 You got to encourage them, y'all. Encourage them. Encourage them. It's hard being up here. You got to encourage them. Encourage them. You cold, huh? I know. You want my jacket? Huh? You cold. Come here. Come here. Here. I brought you all up here, and now you freezing. Yeah. It's okay. It's all right. Here. Now don't take no other guy's jacket, but just trying to teach you well. Don't say I didn't teach y'all well. All right, here. No, notice text. The text is telling to teach us that when our lives are being lived worthy of the gospel, what the fruit of that is unity. That they're striving side by side. And here they are, side by side. Now I want you all to lock arms. Go and lock arms with each other. Go and lock arms with each other. Go and lock arms with each other. Lock arms with each other. Go and lock arms with each other. Don't even know each other, but locking arms with each other. No. They don't know everything about each other, but they're locking arms with each other, side by side. Now, go ahead and step forward together. All right. Step forward a little bit more together. Now, they didn't rehearse this. They probably won't come up again if I ask for any volunteers. But notice the text, because the outflow of the text is that when we are a body of Christ, and God is called, he's called us, he's been good to us. He says the outflow of that ought to be that you're able to stand with people, get this, who don't look like you, come from where you come from, and you're still able to stand with one mind in one spirit, striving side by side. Do they look the same? Do y'all look like each other? you see how your son will do? You see how your son will do? But notice this. Because as the body of Christ, you and Trey are best friends. You're not best friends anymore?
I don't know this guy.
Now, Luke, tell me. No, better yet, don't worry about it, Luke. Don't tell me, Luke. Trey and Keandre are brothers, biological brothers. And y'all always get along. Oh, you don't. He let his hand go. The pastor's son demonstrating the church, and you let the brother hand go. That's not how this is supposed to work. Because, brothers and sisters, the unity in the body is not uniformity. We won't always look the same. God didn't make us to look the same. We don't act the same. And sometimes even the closest will get on your nerves. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, sisters? Y'all go, yeah. You can tell the truth, shame the devil. Here it is. But notice something, that though there are differences. When I asked different people to come up here and they locked arms side by side without any further instruction, and I said, take a step forward, together they're able to take a step forward. I tell you, take a step back, step back. They didn't have to even consult with each other. They just heard the one, and together they are moving forward and moving back. Give them a hand because they didn't even like each other and they came up here. Thank you, son. You warm up now? You see what the anointing will do, girl? It just warms you up. I have too much fun with y'all. The reality is that what God is calling us as the body of Christ, that if we're going to be grateful in this season, as a church, we have to strive to live as a church lives that's worthy of the gospel. You know that you're living a life that is worthy of the gospel when together we are of one spirit, one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Don't get lost in the word gospel. Gospel is the good news that God loves you. And when you know God loves you, it enables you to love others. So let your communication clearly communicate. This week, let your communication clearly communicate God's goodness. Let your spoken and unspoken communication communicate God's goodness. Live in view of the gospel of Christ and stand firm as a member of God's family. Together with God, we can do it. Because he's calling us to live in harmony and in proximity as a ministry. Not that we'll always agree on everything. Because, you know, you don't know, I'm done with the message, but you know, you may not know this, I'm going to tell you. You know, do you know people disagree with me? No, I mean, you know, I, Brother Michael, I labor, you know, over the word, trying to, you know, dig deep into the word and you know, unearth the truth of the word. And, you know, there's some folk who would actually email me and challenge. You know what? And I'm okay with that. I mean, I have no problems with the body of Christ disagreeing with me. I don't. Listen, there are people disagreeing with me all the time. I have no problems with people disagreeing with me. If you want to be wrong, you just be wrong. But when we strive together, you all, and we strive to live the gospel, try to live lives worthy of the gospel, then we're able to live grateful lives. And when we're grateful, it gives us the ability to stand together, to stand strong. Because gratitude for God provides strength, even in struggle. And there's going to be struggles in life. We're believers in Christ. There's going to be struggles. Christ said that you will be persecuted. You will go through trials for his name's sake. But then he says in the text here, he says, but you know what? Those who are opposing you, that's their destruction. Because you can't mess with God's children and think that God won't do anything about it. That's for their destruction. He said, but hey, but it's also for your salvation. What it means then is that God has a purpose with everything that you're going through, where you can rest assured that if you're going through it, you can always be grateful because you're not going through it by yourself. You got a church family who's with you. You got a God who is before you and after you, who's been holding you. And wherever you are in this life, eating turkey or eating collard greens, I'm getting hungry again. Eating anything this week, celebrating with folk. And you know how it gets. You know how it gets because some of y'all got an expiration date on how long you can hang with family. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know. I got family like that too. But may you be reminded that when your temper starts to move a little higher than it should, when you get a little more agitated than you ought to be, and when you're around that table, may you be reminded of how patient God has been with you. May you be reminded how forgiving God has been to you. May you be reminded how good God has been to you, that you too might be able to live a life that reflects His goodness.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's Word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.